Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
As Lloyd said, we're going to continue in our series on identity, looking at the book of Ephesians. And I want to start off with a quick funny story, because today I'm going to talk to you about enlightened. God, I feel that God's going to really enlighten our hearts this morning. God's really going to change our ways. And I'll tell you a funny story of when I was going to do something that I had no idea what I was doing. And a few years ago, this was early on in my Christian walk when I first met Clive, I had Clive's car keys and Clive's car standing in front of me, and I decided to get in and decide to move it. And at this moment, like, bear in mind, I've never had any driving lessons at this point. I haven't done anything. I was just one of those kids that were just like, yeah, let's have it, let's have fun. And I just went in for it. So I got in Clive's car. I could just imagine Clive's face when he hears this. but instantly when I got in, I knew that if I would have driven, like, or for all the excitement, if I would have put my foot on the accelerator and actually driven this car, I would have ended up in a tangled mess. My heart was enlightened in that moment. And the truth is, some of our lives have actually ended up in a tangled mess through the decisions we've made, the lives that we've lived. And they've ended up in a tangled mess because we haven't had God's illumination on our lives. And God wants to speak to us today. He wants to illuminate our heart. He wants to speak to us and let us come into all that He has created us to be. And today's message is an important message that is going to challenge you. It's going to inspire you for all that God has for you, and give you encouragement to go deeper in your relationship with God, to get peace and understanding, spirit of revelation, and as our hearts are enlightened this morning. And it's quite funny, my layout of my preach and my 3 points kind of references our worship songs this morning. My 3 points today is the enlightenment of foundation, the enlightened heart, and power and priorities. And I'll go into that in a sec, but I just want to invite Vicky up here, a dear friend of mine who is going to do our reading today. Can we welcome Vicky?
So today's reading is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, in verse 15 to 23. So it says, verse 15, "Ever since I first heard your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so you can understand the confident hope he's given to those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's love for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor, God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself." Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vicky. Let's give Vicky a round of applause. Thank you, mate. So in our passage today, Paul is praying that the hearts of these people would be enlightened. And to enlighten, it means to explore or to explain, or make clear. It can also mean to tell or to inform. And our hearts can be enlightened by being told something new, as well as having something we know to be explained to us or made clearer. And the Greek word that Paul uses here is photisso, which means to shine. It means to illuminate. It means to bring to light. And Paul wants our hearts this morning to illuminate and shine with the things that he goes on to describe. And we should be praying today that our hearts will be illuminated, that our hearts will be enlightened in the things that Paul writes in this passage, to receive light of clarity and understanding regarding Jesus, his words, and his ways. And Paul mentions in this that he keeps asking God that he would give them wisdom and revelation so that they would know him better. Now, they knew God and they responded to the call of salvation, They responded to the call of salvation, but Paul is saying that that is not the end, that there is more to learn, that there is more to gain. And that's quite a challenge to us. That's a Paul is challenging us, right? It's not just about coming to faith, accepting Christ in your heart. Great, I'm in salvation, I'm saved. No, there's more. There is more for you. That's just the start of it. There is more to gain. And the challenge is we need God's wisdom and revelation to come to Christ in the first place, and then we need to continue to receive wisdom and revelation to build our relationship with him. And I must say this, the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes from God and God alone. You can't get it from praying, you can't get it from reading. It is a gift from God, and he will give it to you. And I believe that he will give it to you this morning. And from verses 15 to 16, Paul's prayer for spiritual wisdom. Now, when we pray to know God better, we are giving ourselves the opportunity to better ourselves and gain what holds everlasting value. What is the importance of our identity? How do we become enlightened in life? And Paul was very much an enlightened man. And when you start that verse off, the first thing he is doing is he is speaking to God. And he's saying that he always is in prayer and conversation with God. So the foundation, the first point of enlightenment, the foundation of enlightenment is by knowing God. Knowing God is what matters most. Now, some of us, we're never going to know God in our spare time just by cruising along life. To become God's friend, just like that that song says earlier, we must make knowing him our number one priority. Paul says it like this in Philippians 3:8. Everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. Are we doing that? Are we seeking God with all of our hearts every day? Are we praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing him and knowing the greatness of his power? Because remember, you are as close to God as you choose to be. You're going to become a friend of God when you decide you want to become a friend of God. And you may feel apart from, some of you may be sitting there going, you know what, I feel so distant from God. I feel like God is so far away from me. There is no one else to blame. You can't blame your partner, you can't blame your work, you can't blame your kids, you can't blame the leaders of your church. It's you who didn't make God the number one priority and center of your life. And that is the reality of it. Knowing God and loving God is our greatest privilege. And being known and being loved by God is our greatest pleasure. And you notice in life what people find most important in their life, because they brag about it. If their kids are most important to them, they always talk about their kids. If it's their job that's most important to them, they always brag about their job. If it's their holidays and travels and experiences, then that's all they're talking about. If it's partying or the expensive clothes that they buy and they want for possession, that's what they talk about most. That is what people value most. You brag about what you value most. And God says it like this in Jeremiah 9. The wise should not boast of their wisdom, nor the strong of their strength, nor the rich of their wealth. If anyone wants to boast, they should boast that they know and understand me. Knowing God is what matters most. That is the foundation of enlightenment. That is the foundation of your identity. It's what life is all about. And the God of the universe loves you, and he wants to have that relationship with you. And getting close to him will enlighten your heart. It will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelations. It will give you peace and perspective. And you will see God's power work in your life. And you will see God reveal who you are in Christ. And he will reveal your identity. That's good news, isn't it? I remember when I was growing up, the most important things to me was going to work, getting money, going out and partying, supporting and cheering on the Arsenal, and buying new trainers and keeping up with the latest trends. That was my favorite, and that was chaos, especially if you go back a few years when the Arsenal were really, really bad. It was a really bad time. So it was just chaos, and all I wanted to do was go to work, go out every weekend and live my life. And I'll tell everyone, yeah, mate, went out the other week, yep, pulled a salt, yep, done all this. And you know what? The reality is there was nothing satisfying. There was nothing fulfilling. It was just absolute chaos. And then I started to realize that actually what I'm in and what I'm doing, it has no worth. It has no meaning for my life. And then I started to put Jesus in the center. I started to place God in the center of every area of my life, time after time. And I started to see that actually I do have an identity in Christ. I do have a purpose. I do have a meaning. And you know what? My life has been so much better since that decision. I've got peace. I've got purpose in my heart. My heart was enlightened. And there is so much more for me in that life that is so much better. And it's the same for you. It's time to put God as your number one priority. Don't worry about possession. Don't worry about football. You'll probably get let down anyway. Don't worry about buying all the expensive clothes. Don't make that your worth. Your worth is in Christ. Amen? Amen. That's the foundation. Now, the second one is the enlightened heart. And this is where we get to work. The power of God is the working of God's mighty strength. And this is what Paul is talking about from verses 18 to 21. It's the power of God's strength which exerted Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule, all power, all dominion, all authority, and every title that will ever be given now, not just in this present age, but even in the age to come. Jesus is above it all. And when Paul says the eyes of your heart, now obviously he doesn't mean that your heart has a little pair of eyes. That's not what he's talking about. But what does Paul mean? The Greek word here means ophthalmos, which can mean the literal organ, but it also means the faculty of mental perception and understanding. And Paul prays that their lives, that their hearts would be enlightened to know the hope of which we are called, to know the glorious riches of our inheritance, and to know the incomparable great power to us who believe. Paul wants our hearts to be enlightened. Our hearts need to change for that to happen. Because when our heart changes, we change. You ever heard that expression, what goes in comes out? Yeah? As God transforms our hearts, our lives will begin to change. And people in life, we go through stresses, we go through pressures in life, and how we respond depends on what's in the heart. People respond differently to stress and pressures, and what comes out reveals what actually is going on inside of us. When we're under stress, if you're a peaceful person, you're going to be even more peaceful in stress and pressures. If you're someone who is patient, you're going to be even more patient when stress and pressure comes to you. But if you're a person who's mean, you're going to be meaner. If you're an angry person, you're going to be angrier. If you're a bully, become bigger bully. And if you're an opinionated person, you're going to become more opinionated. Whatever is on our heart is going to spill out when we're under pressure. So the only way that we can control what we do is to manage what's going on in our hearts. And we need to ask ourselves these questions. How do you really feel about yourself? Do you know who you are? Do you know who God says you are? How do you really feel about the people in your life? And does social media and political standings have any effect on your life? Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Imagine what would happen, right, if everyone in the church consistently saw themselves and other people the same as how God sees them. We would become known for being a humble, kind, and loving church. We would have a lot more harmony in our relationships, and we would also show the world what Jesus is like. And this is the enlightened heart that Paul is talking about. I'll give you a personal story of when I've spoken to someone. And this is the calling on us, by the way. When our hearts are enlightened, it's not just for us to keep. When we build out, when we speak out, we're meant to build into people. And I remember when I was growing up, my heart was enlightened by the teachings of Jesus and also the leaders around me and things that people would say. And also as well, there's times when we should be speaking into people's lives. There are people who are living chaotic lives, people who are under stress, people who are living anxiety, living in fear, not happy with themselves. People who are sitting at home and thinking, you know what, it'll just be easier just to end it all right now. These are what people are going through, and we have the gifts and the tools to speak life into them. And I remember I spoke to one young man once, He was going through, his parents were alcoholics and took drugs. He was just chaotic. He was just on the streets and in and out of jobs. There was just so much going on. And I spoke to him and I said, why are you doing this? And he went, well, why not? My mum and dad didn't show me otherwise, and I don't want to do drugs. I'd rather just be part of a family. And he was looking for family in the wrong areas. He just wanted someone to love him. He just wanted someone to guide him. So when I speak life into him and show him that, you know what, there is a father who loves you, there is a church community that love you, and there is so much more to life than this. When you speak life into these people, their lives change. Their hearts change. Now that boy's in college, going to uni and looking for a job and actually getting a future. I don't know about his parents yet. We are still praying for them. But there is mighty things to come when God changes our hearts. And we must allow God to change our hearts. And when God changes our hearts, let what comes out build in to the people around you. Amen? Amen. From verses 22 to 23, it talks about God's power and authority. In short, you have the power of Christ in you. On the cross, when Jesus destroyed Satan's power to control your mind, to control your life and your destiny, when Jesus said those mighty three words that changed the whole course of humanity, when he said in John 19, it is finished, Satan should have said, I'm finished, because his days are numbered. Jesus has won the victory over death and Satan, but if we don't have the power of Christ in our life, then we are defenseless against the devil. We are defenseless against temptation and sin. And he can get us addicted to all kinds of stuff. He can make us doubt and be ashamed of who we are, especially when we don't understand who we are. And the truth is, we are powerless without Christ. Satan has two favorite tools that he likes to use: temptation and condemnation. He uses temptation by minimizing sin, making it look so small. And he'll say things to you like, it's all right, everyone's doing it. It's all good, it doesn't matter. You know what's best for you more than what God does. Satan doesn't say it out loud. He's that quiet voice in your head. He just puts these ideas in your mind. And when God gives you an idea, it's called inspiration. When Satan gives you an idea, it's called temptation. And then the moment comes when you fall and you do that sin, and suddenly Satan reverses his strategy and he goes, whoa, look what you've done. Look what you've done there. You've slipped up. You've been a naughty boy. Eh? You did that. Are you kidding me? God ain't going to forgive you for that. You've got no purpose in God now. It's over for you. God can never use you. He can never use you. He can never forgive you. That sort of thing you just did, you will never be forgiven for. You might as well kill yourself. You might as well carry on. I remember a few years ago, early on, I fell. This was early on, and it caused a real ruck within the church. We had one young girl went to a house party. And I won't go into details, but yeah, it just got a bit sort of, yeah, basically, I'd done something I shouldn't have done, and basically it sort of spiraled out because it turns out that she had a boyfriend. But it kind of got real messy. But that's because I listened to the wrong voice. That's because I looked and the sin was minimized, and it really, really destroyed me. It really got me to the point where suddenly now I've got guilt. Suddenly now I'm depressed. Suddenly now I feel like I can't go to Clive. I can't go to church. I can't be around my people. I might as well just leave God. And lucky enough, you know, the situation was resolved. But that's how Satan works. First he tempts you and then he condemns you. You see that strategy? Minimizes the sin before you do it, and then he maximizes it afterwards. And on the cross, when Jesus said it is finished, he defeated temptation and condemnation. Jesus destroyed that irresistible power of temptation, and he now gives that power for us to resist it. He rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians 1:13. Jesus' death and resurrection was a fatal blow to Satan and sin. And if you have Christ in your life, then Satan has zero power over your life except the areas that you decide to give him. When we choose to give in to Satan's temptations through resentment, guilt, worry, or fear, then we give him a foothold in our life, just like I did. But then if we choose to say no, he can't touch you. Because with God's power in your life, Satan can't harm you. You are hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3 says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." You are protective, and that was Paul's prayer of enlightenment. Let us see the power of God that is within us. Let us not fall into temptation and sin. Let us stand firm against the battle with Satan. That's the enlightened heart that Paul wants us to have. He doesn't want us to walk in fear or depression or anxiety. He wants us to walk in boldness and courage, knowing that the power of God is within us and Jesus is protecting us. When we draw on that power from God, our lives will change and we will not be weak when it comes to temptation and sin. And the desires of this world and we will get our lives detangled. I feel like that's a real word for some people today. Some of you feel like your lives are a tangled wreck through the decisions you've made in life, through the way you've lived your life without God's illumination over it. And God is saying, like, no, you have the power. I've given you my power. I am living in you. You are free. And we get to walk in our identity and purpose that God has given us. And then we speak about power and purpose. Knowing our true identity guides our priorities. Fulfilling God's purpose is better than popularity. Knowing God helps us know our identity. Knowing your identity helps you define your responsibilities, and knowing your identity also helps you set your priorities. Ask yourself this question: who am I? Can you answer that question? Let's go back to Moses real quick. He was born a Hebrew slave, but he was raised as Pharaoh's grandson. And in Moses' world, the value system for most people was very much the same as it is today. They valued popularity, they valued pleasure, and they valued possessions. But when Moses realized that he was a Hebrew, his values and priorities changed, and suddenly palace life didn't matter to him anymore. It says in Hebrews 11 that he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. His identity helped him define his values, and he prioritized his life based on those values. He decided three things: fulfilling God's purpose is better than popularity, loving God's people is better than pleasure, and having God's peace is better than possessions. Moses gave up all the things that many people today are living their whole lives to gain. Why? Because he was looking ahead at his reward. He set his vision. His vision set his values. Then his values determined his priorities to follow God and to lead the Hebrew people out of slavery in Egypt. And Paul was one of the first Christians to actually had a similar long-term vision. In Philippians 3:8, he says, "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Jesus." What about us? What values are most important to you? If you don't know, then we need to give it some thought. Because if you can't decide for yourself what's important, other people are going to decide it for you. Has your life been focused on what other people value? Things like popularity, pleasure, and possession? If so, then we need to follow the examples of Moses and Paul and find our identity in Christ. That's why we're doing this identity series. There is more to come for your life. There is more for us to gain in life. We need to adopt God's vision for our life, and then let that vision show our values, and then let our values set our priorities. In Christ, you will find out who you are. That's your identity, and you find out what you're living for. That's your purpose. And the only way to know your identity and purpose in life is by getting to know the Creator. And you may think you know yourself best. You may think, yeah, I know what ticks me off. I know what triggers. I know what makes me happy. I know how I work. Shouldn't the Creator know it even better? He made you to love you, and He gave you a purpose that only you can fill. When we look at our identity in other people, we're not going to find it. When we look for our identity in our job, in our hobby or possession, we're not going to find it. We're only going to be disappointed. Because when we find our identity in Christ, we're going to find our purpose and the motivation to get to work and go for it. And if you really want to hear what God says, want to say to you today, He says this: you are the focus of my love. You were created so that I can love you. Did you know that when God looks at you, He just loves you simply because He made you? There's nothing else to say on that. The Bible says, Ephesians 1:4, long before He laid down earth's foundations, God had us in mind and had settled on us as the focus of His love. You were created to be loved by God. And when we actually hear that and let that profound truth sink into our hearts, sink into our soul, you will never again have a problem with insecurity or low self-esteem or anxiety or fear. Because when you realize that God created you to love you, it will take away all of those uncertain feelings. In Isaiah 6:6, God says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. The most important thing that we can know this morning is that God created you to love you. And the most important thing that we can do is to know and love Him back. Can we stand? Because the reality of this message is that some of us have actually gone through our entire lives missing that point, missing that understanding, missing the purpose of our lives. We know all kinds of things. We can say that we know who's going to win this season's Formula One. We can also talk about the latest sports scores. We can talk about Bitcoin and the stock market. We can talk about global warming and all the political drama. But do we actually know God? Because you may know about God, but do you actually know Him personally? Do we have a friendship and relationship with God? Because if not, today is the day that we take that step into that relationship, into that deepening. The three foundations of an enlightened heart is knowing God, walking in His power, walking in His purpose, and really receiving that enlightenment. That God actually loves us. Father God created you just to love you.